Good morning. Let me try it again, right? Good morning. A very good morning to each and every one of you who are here today to worship God. I believe many of us will agree with me, it's always a joy to come together to worship this God who's so wonderful, this God who's so powerful, and this God who's so great in our lives. We also want to say good morning to those also joining us online. It's our prayer that it has become, as we look at God's Word will become very real to our lives, that we will have the spirit of obedience and we will just cling on to Him. You know, I was just thinking, do you believe that Christ is here today?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes, all of us believe that Jesus is here with us because the Word of God reminds us, where two or three are gathered in His name, His presence is always felt in our lives. Just imagine if Jesus comes to you today and would ask you, ask me one thing, just one thing, not two, not three, not one and a half, but just one thing. What would be your response be? And He says, you know, ask me before the service is done. Maybe some of us would know what we want. We will say, Lord, this is the one thing that I want. Or some of us will say, Lord, give me just 5 minutes. You know, I'll just go to my seat and try to figure out what I need for my life. Or some of us who are very good in mathematics, right? We will bring to God that one thing. In that one thing, there will be three other requests inside. And so just imagine, we will be so excited to say, Lord, this is that one thing. To those who are in school, they will say, Lord, I just want to complete my studies. To those who are in the working field, we will pray, Lord, I want a promotion. Those who are just hunting for a house would say, I want a place at this particular location. We have desires, we have want things in our life. Can you imagine the passage that we just read today and the theme that you see? You know, it's a very interesting theme because the disciples came to Jesus. There was another occasion they asked Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. And today's passage is a passage they come. They could have asked Jesus for so many things. Can you imagine this God is just with them, the Creator, the all-powerful God. They can just make their request to God. But they said, Lord, increase our faith. They said, Lord, increase their faith. You know, for a moment I was thinking, there are so many things they could have asked. Lord, we want to do miracles the way that you are doing. We want to do extraordinary things. We want to be known in the society. We want a crowd that will just come around us. We want things to be done this way and that way. But they said, Lord, increase our faith. I think that's a very powerful lesson for each and every one of us today. Because today we live in a world, right, we are faced with many things. Sometimes we want God to solve issues. We want God to solve situations in our life. But I think the great lesson that we are learning from this passage is, like the disciples, I think it is important for us to say, Lord, increase my faith. Increase our faith, O God. And I think today we want to just give our attention to Luke chapter 17 from verses 5 to 10. Let's pray and ask God to help us as we spend looking at His Word. Father, we thank You, Lord, that we have access to Your Word. We thank You, Lord, Your Word is so powerful and active, O God. It is sharper than the two-edged sword. Lord, we pray that we would be just hungry for Your Word, O God. Feed us today. Instill in us, O God. And Father, we pray that we will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' most wonderful name, we pray. Amen. You know, as I was just working on this particular sermon, I was just reflecting on my pastoral journey. My wife had been accompanying me in many of my ministries. And many a times when we speak to people who are just going through difficult times in their life, they go through challenges, they come and see the pastor and they say, no, these are the challenges. In the course of conversation, one of the questions I normally ask is, you know, what is God trying to teach you? What is God trying to say to you in the situation that you are in? And usually the answer is, they will say, you know, I believe God wants me to trust Him more. I believe God wants me to have confidence in His word, in His promises. And I think all of us, you know, would agree with me that that is one thing that we always struggle. Even though we lay our trust and faith and confidence on the Lord Jesus Christ, but when we look at life or when we journey through life, there's always a battle of faith. Right? Can I trust God in this situation in my life? Can I trust God for the things that I've been asking God for? Can I trust God in the place that I'm working, in a very toxic environment I'm in? Can I ask God to help me out? And many times we struggle with faith, with trust. I think this is not new if you realize Moses was a great man of God. Right? In Exodus chapter 4, when you read Exodus 4, you see that Moses was struggling with his faith. He was struggling with his trust and in his confidence with God. About his doubt, he comes to God with his doubt and fears. And even when you read Exodus chapter 4, you realize, you know, Moses is even arguing with God. Great man of God, Moses had issues of trust too. That's why when you read Paul's writing to the young minister, Paul is encouraging, motivating this young minister called Timothy. And he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. He said, fight the good fight of faith. And that's what he's saying, because the apostle knew this is not going to be Timothy's problem, but it's going to be your problem, it's going to be my problem. Until we face death in this world, my friend, all of us are going to have, you know, journey where we battle with trust. Can I have confidence in God in this situation? Can I trust God? You know, because I'm going through a rough time in my life. The doctors have told me otherwise. I've been just waiting for a job. I've been just patiently waiting, patiently knocking at the door of grace and mercy. Can I trust Him? I think the passage that is just before us today, it's a very interesting passage. If you look at Luke chapter 17, Jesus is teaching the disciples on hot topics, right? He is teaching them about forgiveness, which is a very difficult thing. He's teaching them about that you are the danger of being a stumbling block, right? In verse 17, if you read, it says, Jesus said to the disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. Can you imagine when they heard these teachings of Jesus Christ? You know, I don't want to make people stumble in their life. Hard teachings, right? Jesus says in verse chapter 2, he says, it is better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Hard teachings, difficult teachings to be put into practice. And then if you go on further, you know, in verse 3, he says, you know, so watch yourself. And then he talks about forgiveness, which is a difficult thing. Many of us struggle, right? We tend to struggle. Can you imagine when the disciples were just hearing the teachings of Jesus Christ, the hard teachings, the hot topics of Christ? I believe they would have looked at themselves and said, you know, can I do it? Peter would have said, you know, can I? Because Peter was known as a person who was almost like, you know, he reacts too fast. Can you imagine Simon the Zealot would have been thinking, because he wanted to overthrow the Roman Empire, and he is a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He always wanted to overthrow the Roman rule. And how can I forgive the guys who are above me, who have placed me in such a situation? When looking at themselves, they realize it is not possible for them. And so they come to Jesus and they say, Lord, increase our faith. They realize, I think, they need the Lord's help to increase their faith. You know, when I was looking at the prayer of the disciples or the plea of the disciples, it's very interesting if you look at the text very carefully. It was not just a request. It was not just a request saying, Lord, just help me to increase. But it was a plea. They said, Lord, we want our our depth of faith to grow. We want to be growing in our faith, in our dependence on you. Because the things that you have shared with us are difficult for us. It is difficult to forgive, right? It is difficult for us to live a life of example. It is difficult, Lord, in an environment as such. And so, Lord, we need faith. We need trust. We need to lean on to you. For a moment, I was just looking at the way Jesus was answering. Jesus could have easily said, come, right? Many a times when you say this to any pastor, they will say, let me pray for you, right? And they will pray for you. Or they will, you know, and they would even give you advice and say, you know, these are the things that you need to be found doing, right? Probably they would suggest five things or six things, some ways of formulas for us to follow. But very interesting the way Jesus is dealing with the disciples here. I think he's teaching us something important, right? And what is he teaching us? And I want to see the way Jesus is responding, right? If we come to Christ and say, Lord, increase our faith, what is Jesus' response? In verse 6, we read, you know, Jesus is saying, if you have a faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Can you imagine? They're asking, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus, instead of saying, no, these are the five things. Can you remember, you know, the lecture I gave you a month ago by the Sea of Galilee? Remember the topic I spoke to you about this? No. He responds in a very interesting manner. He says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. What is Jesus trying to teach you? You know, when you look at the mustard seed, I think all of us know, right, those who are involved in cooking, right, sometimes it's very difficult to hold the mustard seed because it's so small, so tiny, right? By the time you scoop, I think a couple of them will drop. It is so tiny. And Jesus says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted, be planted. In another passage, you realize Jesus is saying, you can tell to the mountain and remove that mountain, my friend. So what is Jesus trying to teach here? You know, the first things I realize Jesus is trying to teach here is I think genuine faith can do great things. In other words, many a times we talk about, you know, my faith must be stronger, must be larger, must be bigger. But Jesus is speaking about true faith, genuine faith. In other words, simple faith. It can be the smallest as the mustard seed, my friend. But even it might be small, but if it's true, if it's genuine, it can do great things. And what is Jesus trying to teach us, right, in this particular verse? You know, genuine faith. You know, when you look at it, when you look at faith, today I think I like to speak on faith. The reason is because we are on the Reformation month. It is a month where Martin Luther nailed the 95 thesis in Wittenberg, the city castle church, and he spoke about justification by faith. And so when you look at faith, you know, Jesus is not talking about the quality of the faith, my friend, or the quantity of the faith, but the object of our faith. Yes, all of us have faith. All of us have trust. But what is the object of our trust? In other words, who do we trust? Who do we place our trust on? That is important. I was reading a story in Daily Bread. It's about, a person was asked, right? And a pilot asked the person and said, you know, come and join me because let me take you for a ride in this one-engine plane. And the person said, no, I'm not so interested in this. Because the person was very hesitant about going in a plane that has, which is not, the big ones, the smaller ones, the private jets kind. The person said, no. And so the pilot was so skillful. He said, no, I have so many hours of training. Right? I'm a professional pilot. You can just trust my experience, my learnings. I'm good in landing and even in takeoff. But the person said no. Finally, the pilot took the plane on his own. And then it crashed, my friend. The story tells us the pilot has the object of his faith was his experience, his learning. He thought that he can do the things because of what he has gained from all the experiences. I think Jesus is teaching us from this particular passage, yes, we have faith, but where is your faith placed upon? Is it placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ? We have faith, all of us have faith. Do we trust this God? Do we trust that this God is able? Unfortunately, you know, many a times we realize our God is too small. We come to God only, you know, when we feel like coming and asking Him, if we feel there are things that it's beyond our control. But do we come to God for everything? Like, do we have faith in Him? There was another incident in the disciples' life. You realize, I think, they were told to cast the devil, right? The demons. They were not. You know why? Because they had another kind of faith called the misplaced faith. In other words, they had faith on their training. They thought whatever we have learned from Jesus, you know, whatever skills we have acquired from Him, when we put it into practice, it will work. It was not the skill, it was not the learning, you know, whether that place, that faith was placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's what Jesus is trying to teach the disciples here. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, if you have faith that leans on to God and trusts this great God, Jesus is not talking about large, big faith, which is wonderful to have. Like Abraham was known as the father of faith, right? It's great. But if your faith is simple, but you trust, the Lord is able to do great things. You know, and if you look at the passage, it says, right, you can say to this mulberry tree, mulberry trees, plants and all that, you realize, I think they are one of the strongest trees. You can't move them. See, we had it in the garden, yeah. So maybe after service, we should take a walk and see and try to pull the mulberry tree. It is strong, right? Extraordinarily strong. And it is thought that the tree could stay rooted for almost 600 years. It is so strong, it can face anything, my friend. So Jesus is saying, if your faith on God, it might be small, but if your faith is placed on Christ, on the Lord, you can even tell to the mulberry tree and be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. In other words, what Jesus is saying, you know, the power of that small faith, my friend. You can say to the mountain, right? And be removed. In other words, the power of that small faith. Can you imagine there were many occasions Jesus told the disciples, oh, people of little faith, you of little faith. Can you imagine? I mean, their faith was much more smaller than the mustard seed. Today we need to ask ourselves, is how's my faith? If your faith is placed on Christ, it might be small. But it is placed on Christ. It can do the impossible. God can do the impossible, my friend. I think it's important for us to ask, you know, where's my faith? But when it says, when God can do the impossible, you know, let me be careful, give you a word of caution. It doesn't mean that you can hijack the power of God, right? If I have faith, so if I tell God, you know, and God will do, no. The Lord does things, right, according to His a plan and purposes that are revealed in the Scriptures. So our desires, our things for life should be aligned to the Word of God, to align to His Word, and the Lord can do the impossible. And so, my friend, you might have simple faith, but if it's a genuine faith, And if that faith is placed rightly on Christ, God can do things. And He can do move mountains, my friend. Not your faith moving mountains. Our faith doesn't move mountains. It is God who moves the mountain, my friend. We place our faith on God, and God is the one who moves the mountain. So whether God wants to move the mountain, it's up to His desire and His will. Secondly, you know, let me look at the last paragraph and then we will be done. You know, Jesus, as you know, is a master teacher, right? He, many times, if you realize, Jesus always speaks in parables. And so He brings a parable. When you look at the parable firsthand, you might think, you know, what a harsh kind of a parable, right? No one would agree to it in a modern world like this. We talk about human rights, we talk about privileges, we talk about entitlement. So when you read the parable in those eyes, you will have some struggle, right? In verse 7, it says, Jesus is saying, He's talking about a parable. And let me read that parable to you. So Jesus says, suppose one of you has a servant plowing and looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? In other words, the answer is no. Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should you say, we are unworthy servants, we have only done our duty. As I said, you know, the parable might look, you know, bad in today's world, when you look at through our lenses of today's world, my friend. But what is Jesus trying to teach us from this particular parable? You know, Jesus is telling us about this man, you know, who comes, right? And he comes from work. He works in the master's field. He comes back and he got no time to freshen up himself. He comes back, he prepares the supper, and he gets things ready, and he waits for the master to eat. So if you realize, he's just moving on, he's just engaged in all the things of the master. He's doing things for the master, my friend. It also says, right, we are unworthy servants. We are only doing our duty. What is Jesus trying to teach about faith here? What is he trying to teach about faith? He's teaching about a faith, not only a mustard seed faith, but a faith that will last. Right? A faith which is not only yesterday, but today, tomorrow, and all the tomorrows, my friend. And that is what Jesus is trying to teach you, a faith that will last. Right? He is engaged. He's actively involved in the plowing. He could have come back and say, Master, can't you see that I need a break? Can't you see that I need to refresh myself? I need to unwind myself? No. He comes, he prepares supper, he gets ready and wait, right? While this master is eating, he's just waiting to serve the master to make sure the master's needs are met. It is not my need. It's not my desires. It's about my master's needs. It's about my master's plan. It's about my master's desire. I'm there to serve him. He's unworthy. In other words, he feels, you know, whatever the master have done for me, he has done so many things for me. He's given my life for me. So whatever I do for him, it will never come close to that, my friend. I'm unworthy. All my deeds are unworthy in the sight of God, of this master. In other words, he's constantly serving the master. And that's what Jesus is teaching the disciples. Jesus is teaching that faith is evidenced by love. You know why they were doing? Because for the love of the master. And it was shown by action. They loved the master and they engaged in the master. You know, it's easy to say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I have faith in you. Lord, I honor you. But is your faith evidenced by real love, and that real love is shown through our response, through our duty. Right? We realize there's no complaint here. There is no unions here. There is no reservation here. There is no resentment in this particular passage. They're not talking back. They're not talking about their rights, because what they see is whatever my master have done, you know, whatever I do for him, it will never come close to what he has done for me. He has shown me his love. He has given. And that's why James writes, right? James says, right? James chapter 2, verse 18, he says, right, about show me, if you have faith, he says, I have works. Show me thy faith without works. And the importance, if you have faith, and how's your faith? Is your faith still going on strong? Is your faith still active? If your faith just, you are having faith because you love God and it's active, it's powerful, or dormant, my friend. Martin Luther, the great reformer, right, says, the true living faith which the Holy Spirit instills into the heart simply cannot be ideal. It's always working. It's always doing what the Master wants to do. Because I am for Him. I am living a life for Him, my friend. And so I think this is what Jesus is trying to teach us. A faith that will last. How's our faith today, my friend? How's our faith today? Yes, when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we have heard testimonies, you know, powerful testimonies. Oh, God has been so wonderful. Yes, praise the Lord for that. But compared to the time that you accepted Christ, how's our faith today? Is it evidenced by your love, by your action? You know, when you look at this passages very carefully, you realize, you know, Jesus will always reward us. You know. In Matthew chapter 25, you read, right, he says to the servants and to the faithful ones, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Let me conclude by sharing a story. I believe I have shared this story, but I think it's worth repeating the story by William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army. He was a great man of God. And so, as I said in one of my sermons, I said about his life, it was so powerful that he realized that the church was not involved in the lives of the people who were, the poor and the needy in the community during his time. Particularly the drunkards and all that, the prostitutes, the addicts and all that. So he started a ministry called the 3S, soup, soap, and salvation. Soup, soap, and salvation. And so many people were just saved by that. And when he was 80 years old or in his 80s, right, his work began to be hindered by blindness, right? When you become affected physically, it not only slows you down, but blindness, you know, he could hardly see what was happening or what was just in front of him. And he lost his sight briefly, and then he recovered, and later his vision was lost permanently. So one day his son came to his room, and he wanted to talk to the dad because the doctors have told that the father would not see again. He doesn't know how to share this bad news with the dad because that was a time he recovered and now it's permanently gone. And so he came to his dad with a lot of fear. I believe he was searching for the right words to say. And so he told the father, he brought the father the bad news, saying that you're not able to see. But William Booth replied, very profound way of replying. He said, God must know best. God must know best. So if God has allowed this to happen, God must know best. And he continued, he said, I've done what I could for God and the people with my eyes. So I have done whatever I could for God and the people with my eyes. Now, and this is what he said, now I shall do what I can do for God and the people without my eyes. I did. When my eyes were there, I did with my eyes. But I will continue to do things for God and for the people around me, even without my eyes, my friend. That is faith. That is faith. It is faith that is evidenced by love for God. No matter what happens, no matter what situation I'm in, I'm motivated by my love for God. And that love of God, it compels me to show His love, to show His care to people around me. So, amen. So the Lord expects us, you know, my friend, to have a simple faith. It can be simple, but if it's placed into the right hands, and our faith should last till the end, will the Lord be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into my joy. Let's pray. The disciples could have easily asked Jesus, Lord, we want to be like you. We want to be a great teacher, God. We want to be great miracle doers. We want to move the crowd. We want to bring social change, Father. But can you realize the humble request? It was a plea. Because they knew what was important. They knew that other things can wait. They pleaded by saying, Lord, increase our faith. And today I think what the disciples are teaching us and through God's word, where's our faith today, my friend? Where is our faith placed upon? Is it placed upon the hand of God? Or is it placed on ourselves, our abilities, our knowledge, our experience? The disciples did the same mistake when they were casting out demons. They were unable to do because they thought they were able to do. It is not they, but it is only through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us are Christians here today, my friend. How's our faith today? As James said, show me your faith. And Jesus tells a parable about it's evidenced by love. The master's needs are more important than my own needs. The master's desires are primary, fundamental. As John the Baptist said, he must increase and I. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, because you're a God who not only wants to journey along with us, Father, but Lord, thank you for encouraging us through your word that if even we have a faith which is smaller, God, to the mustard seed, but if it's placed in your hand, in your mighty and powerful hand of God, we can see you doing the impossible things for us. Lord, let us help us not to give up of our faith, God, when situations face us. Let us, Lord, help us not to throw our towel and say, I'm enough of this God, enough of this faith. Help us, Lord, to have that faith that will last till the Lord tells us, God, well done. Our good and faithful servant. Help us, Lord. Help us to increase our faith in you. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.